Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we ask this morning to grant to our understanding clarity and insight in your word. Thank you for the scriptures are clear to us this morning. They reveal your intent and purpose and plan. And all our eyes, all our hearts, united, behold Jesus Christ your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, now we continue. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, spirit within, spirit upon. Okay, verse 18. As God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ, and has anointed us God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now we said the word promise there is not actually plural. I told you of the danger of having the word the plurals. You know, sometimes it gives you an impression there's more than one, but really it's talking about the same promise, which is the word epagelia. We said that before. That's just the word all there. Is also translated the great promise of God, which is just one promise, and that promise is that he gave us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, I want us to outline that word gave, because it's going to be the crux of our story today, and next week, I intend to wrap this teaching up this month, so I want to make some adjustment. But then, we're going to focus on gave today and next week. So look at that word, he gave. So the promise, again, shows his gift. Now, let's backtrack a bit. It says that promise is that he sealed us, a word we have looked around, the word araborn, which is from the word araborn in the Hebrew. It means to put down a pledge, or something today in today's language, a collateral, something of value beyond what I said I will do. So again, it's for use of words. Basically, what the word means is that God gave a promise, okay? Then he now, that promise, he guaranteed that promise with what is beyond that promise. That is not just the indwelling of the Spirit now. There's, as it were, a capacity beyond that. And you see that by the time you get to chapter 5, he brings back that word araborn, verse 5, in the resurrection of the physical body. That is, everything I said I will ever do will be found in the Spirit that I gave. And you see, that's not too difficult to see, because the indwelling of the Spirit is actually God in. So there is no other power God has outside that indwelling. That indwelling is God in us. And so if Paul calls that an araborn, and he calls it a sphragizo, which is the word seal, what we have was sphragizo, that is a proof of performance. So a proof of performance is that he has given the Spirit in our hearts. So the proof of performance is that he gave the Spirit in us. So the indwelling of the Spirit is proof of performance. So the seal is the proof of performance. That is, I said I'm going to do something, and this is the proof that I've done it. So God's promise in the Old Covenant, that's the Old Testament books, can be put together in the fact that he gave his Spirit. Now look at Ephesians chapter, look at that word given. That's actually a key word for us. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. In whom you trusted after you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, this is Paul speaking. In whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Did you see that? That he doesn't use the word promise in plural here. That Holy Spirit of promise. The same word, sphragizo, we read earlier. Then 14, which is the earnest. The word earnest is the same word we read earlier. Of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, of course, this, let me just digress a little bit. This obviously puts the mind at rest about what is popularly called the rapture. Now, I believe in the rapture, but not exactly how some believe the rapture. Some, but then let's leave that out for today. I believe in the rapture. I believe in the rapture. I believe, but I don't believe the rapture is the coming of Jesus, because Jesus is not coming from anywhere. But then, where did he go to? Did he travel out? No. So, but then I believe in the rapture. Don't get me wrong. I believe the saints of God will be taken. But truth is that this already shows you that that popular belief, which is called the rapture or the resurrection, actually called the resurrection of the physical body, is already, there's a proof of that performance. That is, the proof of that performance is not the conduct of the saints. It's always a very wrong teaching that I got born again in that atmosphere and we were expecting Jesus till we felt that this was looking like a scope. You know, Jesus is coming next week, he's coming 2 weeks' time, he's coming next year. And then some people say they saw a little boy was born, his hand had Jesus is coming soon. And then he was born, but the Bible came out of his mouth. Then as you have given your own narrative, some Muslims come, that somebody else was born with the Quran. So you say, one. You know? So he said, well, we saw something in the cloud, like a horse. He's coming soon. They've been seeing that horse since the 60s, you know, but I guess that horse has a longer distance to cover, you know. So, but the proof of that performance is not in your conduct, it's in the fact that he has given you his spirit. So that's the seal. So looking for any other thing is looking for trouble. Is given you. So, will you be ready when the Lord shall come? It's a song of unbelief. I will be ready, ready. He never asks anyone to be ready. No, there's nothing to be ready about, you know, because he has given you the earnest guarantee of that already. You know, sometimes preachers just look for something good enough or bad enough to keep people under stress. Because sometimes if you don't, someone told me this years back. He said, if you preach this to everybody, how will they keep coming to us? I said, coming to you for what? What is if we all have all these things? Why are they coming back to church? I didn't get it. So he felt that there must be something. I go hold you. So next week, I tell people, if you serve the Lord, he will reward you at the end of your life. Okay? And what is the reward of God? If you're expecting a jet, a spiritual jet that you didn't have on earth, you're wrong. His rewards are in his words, what he will say. That's what it is. So say, that's all. You are so carnal. That's all. I thought I would buy a brand new chariot in the spirit, you know. Because that's what is in the Bible, chariots. I hope you get that. There's no Mercedes Benz in the spirit. I think Elijah saw chariots. You know what a chariot is like? Just look at Marwa. They look alike. Those who are not Nigerians can't understand what Marwa is. And let's leave it like that. Musterio. You get it. What was I saying? Help me out. I said the proof of it. No, I was saying something else. Okay, that something to hold people. Then I said something after that. To hold, just hold people. Okay, serving the Lord. Yeah. That I tell people, if you stop serving the Lord, you won't die because of that. Nothing will happen. It's not doing anything for you. There's nothing. It's just that you have stopped serving the Lord. You stop living like a Christian. That's all. And you are not bringing glory to his name. You're bringing shame to his name. That's all. You know, my that's all is really heavy. That's all. It's very heavy, that's all. Bringing shame to the name of the Lord Jesus is very heavy. It's not just that's all. If you're born again, that shouldn't make you happy, should it? Come on. That's all. So, you know, the proof of that is the fact that he gave his spirit. That's not our focus this morning. Now, notice the word gave that we read earlier, which is exactly what Paul implied in here. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul tells us in verse 8 that salvation is grace. We're going to start from verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, how about saying that? He's rich in mercy. How about that? He's rich in mercy. That's quite something to think about. He's rich in mercy. That's what he says about God. He's rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Let's read the B part now. By grace you are saved. By grace you are saved. Now look at verse 8. Verse 8. Now the word grace here is the word charis. Where you have charis camp meeting. C-H-A-R-I-S. Charis. Okay? Grace means unconditional giving. It's to describe a gift. Now, they used grace in those days in language to differentiate different kinds of gifts. For example, I can give you a dirty slap. It's not gracious. Or also, I can lend you money and we'll say, I gave him $5 million to return the next day. You will have to be on Forbes list to be able to do that. Or, I say, I gave my daughter to him. That is marriage now. You know what I'm talking about. So, and it's a giving as well. Or we gave him a job to do. That's giving. But you see, whenever you use the word gift, grace is a different terminology. It's used to differentiate this giving. That this giving is unconditional. It requires no performance on behalf of the recipient. The recipient did not, in fact, let me say this in a more stronger term, it is not a response to the recipient's request. He asked me for a loan and I gave him. That's not charis. Charis is to let you know, hey, you didn't even tell me you had any problem. I just found out that maybe I just saw, as it were, that you didn't have a car. You didn't talk about it. You didn't pray about it. Then the next day, I just said to you, I hope I'm not, you know, this is not literal. At least not this morning. Say, Pastor, you said it. You know. And then so let me look for somebody I can trust that would hold me to my words. You're a man of God, so I trust you. So I gave him the car keys. He says, well, I said, there's a car there available for you. He says, in my Hebrew, say, do I need a car? I said, you do. Because I've been seeing you operate on, we walk by faith through our labor. And not by sight. So I have offered you a car. So he says, am I paying for it? I said, no, you didn't ask for it. Then he says, he's trying to make up his mind. I believe that's what you're doing now. He said, everybody say no. So he goes, I want it. Faith. Right? Receive. I don't want it. Unbelief. Or refusal to obey, to eat it. I don't want it. Unbelief. I don't think there's a car. I don't think the car will work. Unbelief. Doubt. Is it a car or a tricycle? Doubt. Double opinion. So, the grace says, he offered it because you need it or others need it, not because you asked for it. So he says, by grace you are saved. Look at verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. He emphasizes that. So in case, in verse 5, you thought that everybody in the world is quickened together with Christ, he now says through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. No. Paul is very strong on this. He says, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The word there is doron, is a noun. Doron is usually used for something you give to a beggar. Something that you give to someone who is destitute. It's used for something that feels a need. Doron. So, Paul uses grace there. He's both a noun and an adjective. So, he says, it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Or, it's a giving of God. Pay attention now. It's a giving of God. So, look at that word again. The word to give, which we're exploring, is the word didomi. D-I-D-O-M-I. Which is generally used for giving. But grace distinguishes God's own giving from every other giving. For example, look at John 1:17. The law was given by Moses. That means it was offered to you. The law was given by Moses. Now you can't call the law grace, even though it was given. John 1:17. It's like giving you a daddy slap. Or the government gave new regulations. Didomi. The same word. Then he says in John 1:17, grace, another kind of giving. And truth, or grace, which is the truth, came by Jesus Christ. The word came in John 1:17 is the word exists by Jesus Christ. That's the same word in John 1:14. The word became flesh. Same word. So, grace, therefore, is to distinguish God's character. He gives unconditionally. In other words, he sees a need before you saw it. And he meets the need without you asking for it. That's his grace. So grace, don't forget, is to distinguish God's kind of giving. Now let's go further. So, if he gave us his spirit, that giving is called what again? Come on, church. Grace. So the indwelling of the spirit is the grace of God. The giving of the spirit is the grace of God. So, and that's one of the things we try to sort out in the teaching, the message of grace, a defense that we had in 2014, I want to believe, where we let people see that the subject of grace is not just about sin, you know, and some folks, you confess a sin, you don't confess a sin and all that. And I guess the book Hyper Grace Gospel did some justice to that. And we're going to bring on another one later in the year, the Charismatic Ministry, where we want to look at the ministry of grace. And then, you know, that takes care of quite a number of questions that people will have. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, same book, and verse 7. Let's read that one together now. Ephesians 3, verse 7. Are you there? Let's go. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Notice that. The gift of the grace of God. Now he says, I was made a minister. He's not talking salvation anymore now. I was made. Now, the gift is the word doria, just synonym with the word doron. That is, I didn't ask for it. I didn't pray to get to this. It was offered to meet needs. Now, in this instance, not to meet my needs, to meet the needs of others through me. That's why he calls it ministry. So we didn't ask for it. So say, I'm made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, doria. He uses the same terminology in chapter 4 and verse 7. Let's take it together. Chapter 4, verse 7. Let's go. But unto every one of us is given what? See the word grace again. That's charis, according to the measure of the gift, doria now. The gift of Christ. You know, we made that distinction the other time. Paul says in verse 4, he says, there is one body. Come on, let's go. Let's take it again. It's just good to remember this. Let's go again. Chapter 4, verse 4. Let's go. There is what? One spirit. Even as you are called in the one hope of your calling. Let's go. Verse 5. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. Verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But! See? Unto every one of us, is given grace according to the measure. Then, same. Then he uses a different term in 7, metron. Metron is measurement. That is no longer same. The measure of the gift of Christ. So, we have the same spirit, grace of God. But the same spirit doesn't work in all of us the same way. Let me see if you understand that now. And that working is also grace. Because it's called doria. It's also grace. It doesn't work the same way. Same Lord, same spirit. It doesn't mean that the person who has a measure as another spirit. No. The measure is from the same spirit. So, but notice this. Whatever we're discussing, Paul ensures that it has the word charis to it. So you know they all bear the character of God. They all bear the character of God. They all bear the character of God. That is, it's not a function of prayer. It helps prayer, no doubt, because prayer is vital to the work of the ministry. But it's not a function of what I wanted. It's what he gave. And so, Paul is saying in here that there is a measure. A measure. Not a measure of the Spirit, but a measure from the Spirit. What do I mean by that? For example, okay, it means that it is not a different Spirit, but a different operation or working or ministry of the same Spirit. And so that's why we said there are two promises in the Old Covenant that come to mind. Two that come to mind. And one primarily, the Ezekiel prophecy, Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27. Are you in church? Are you in church? All right, good. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Look at that. Will I give you? Verse 26, will I put within you? And I'll take away the stone out of your flesh and give you an heart of flesh. A new heart. I will give you. Then it says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So, can we call this grace? Come on. Very good. Okay. And it's very similar to John 14, quickly. John 14. And verse 16. I will pray the Father, not you pray, I, says, ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He will give you. Is that grace? Okay. So if he gives, we receive. 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 So, that he may abide with you forever. 17 says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be where? In you. That fulfills Ezekiel's prophecy. Now go to Joel 2. Joel 2 and verse 20. Joel 2:20 says, 28, sorry. And it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Pay attention now. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Now go to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. This is Peter explaining the same thing. He quotes it in verse 17 to verse 21. And I told you that the emphasis of his sermon was not on Joel's prophecy as much as on verse 21. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then leave that out today. So what does Peter call this thing? What does he call this promise? In verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall what? Receive what? The gift. The word gift is the same word we've been looking at so far. Doria. The gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost. What the Holy Ghost gives. The gift of the Holy Ghost. What the Holy Ghost gives. Doria. Now, look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. Remember? Chapter 8. Verse 15. I'm going to start from 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now carefully, it says they receive the word of God, then it says receive the Holy Ghost. Pay very good attention there. Does it mean that if I receive the word of God, I've not received the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost stays at the gate, then when I receive the word of God goes by, Holy Ghost, we are done, you come in, I know. No. Observe, and I've shown you this before, that he uses two different words. Let's look now. The first one in 14 is the word deichomai. D-E-I-C-H-O-M-A-I. It means to welcome. To welcome. It's like someone coming to your house and then you accept him. To accept. To accept. It's the same way you accept the terms and conditions. Some of us, we sign off without reading it. I've done it before. Just say, I'm in a hurry. Just accept the terms and conditions. We'll cut off your head. We'll bring it. And say, just let's move on. Yeah, we're really going to move on, you know. So, you accept it, you sign up. You accept, you welcome. To welcome the word of God. What word of God there is preaching. Or a message. They welcome the message. But the second word is the word lambano. It means to take from. To take from. That's stronger than just welcoming something. For example, you welcomed the word of God, the gospel. Then you found out that in the gospel preached to you, there is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then you take from. Can you see it now? Who's following what I'm saying here? You now take from. So the taking from, lambano, is more active. You are more active. You take from. That is why there was nothing visible when they welcomed the word of God. Okay, we can say there was, but that would be too strong because there was joy in the city. But notice that in taking from, Okay? Which is what they said here. To take from the Holy Ghost. For he was not falling on none of them. We've explained that word falling on many times and over and over again. Only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they laid their hands on them and they received off. Don't forget the word. Every time you see that word received, it's received off. Okay? The Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was what? Given. He offered them money, saying, give me this power, that whosoever I lay hands, give off the Holy Ghost. Now look at what Peter says. Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God, Doria, might be purchased with money. The giving of God, what he gave, what he supplies, might be purchased with money. Acts 10:45. Because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The same time it's used Doria. Acts 11:17, where Peter explains the same experience. God gave them the like gift, Doria, as well as unto us. So when you see those words, and notice Doria, Doron, one more we're going to see shortly, which is Doma, they are all descriptive of the grace of God. They are describing the grace of God. And so one that we're going to see soon is the word charisma. All describing. They are all synonyms, but having things that they stress. In some instances, one stresses the unconditional nature. Another instance, one will stress the non-requirement of the beneficiary. So, they are all speaking about the same character of God, that when he gives, you don't pay for it. You don't do anything. You just receive what he has given. Okay? Now, don't forget that what we are still talking about is what Jesus said that in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The same thing he said in Luke 24:49. Send the promise of my Father upon you. And we have said that the word upon is the word epi, at your instance. At your instance. Upon is what I do. At my instance. That's why it says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. But that is at your instance. Please follow this one. So, we're discussing now the Spirit upon. So, the Spirit upon, we've said it emphatically in this series, is a product of the Spirit within. The Spirit upon is me, myself, or any other person, receiving from the Spirit within me. So, it's not two spirits. The Spirit of the new birth now produces, allow my language, the Spirit of ministry. So when a man is born again, he receives, or he has, let me use the word has, he has, by the new birth, the Spirit of God. He also can be called the Spirit of God, because he's born of God. He has, then ministry, which is the Spirit upon, is he now taking what is in him already, alright, for the work of the ministry. So, look at a couple of other ones now. The word upon, alright, is described by Doria. Again, we go back, Acts 8:20. Acts 10:45. And quickly, let's look at Acts 19:6. I want you to take note of something in Acts 19:6, just like other instances. Remember, Paul went to Ephesus and he met these folks who were believers, but were still, they were not believers, sorry. And they were following John the Baptist. And they didn't even know about the fact that Jesus' resurrection brought salvation. And Paul brought that to their attention in verse 4. And then In verse 5, when they heard that, they were now baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 6. Let's take verse 6 together. And Paul, I laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Have you observed that every time you hear, came on them, the next action is by the man? Because the coming upon is your action. Okay? Upon, the next action is the man. Every time you see the word upon. In these instances. So, ministry is involved. Now, notice these guys, these 12 men, arguably are the same people Paul in chapter 20 now calls the elders of the church. So the Spirit upon is actually the starting point of the work of the ministry. What do I mean by that? Utterances, when people get filled with the Holy Ghost, we're about to see that shortly, and they speak with tongues, it is actually like an introduction to the work of the ministry. An introduction to the work of the ministry. Because you remember, Jesus said the same thing to his disciples about utterances. He said, you wait. Wait till you be endued with power from on high. Luke 24:49. Acts 1:8. You shall be witnesses unto me. And what happened to them happened in Acts 2:1-4. So, obviously, speaking with tongues, sometimes it's just lack of knowledge. Many of us have been there. At one point in time, we've all lacked the knowledge in something. You know, we're all growing. You know, but don't give yourself the excuse. We can't know everything. Says who? Say, well, you know, we know in part. So who are we? The body of Christ. So where is the other part in Islam? Okay, so, you know, when people get filled with the Holy Ghost, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm always very grateful that I spoke in tongues a few minutes after I got born again. I will say that because if you gave me 1 week, my head will have been thinking, what's it for? For what? I will ask the person, and I'm very sure the person won't have an answer. If I don't speak in these tongues, and I speak in my normal tongue, will God not hear me? He will hear me. So what's the point? And he will just say, just do it. No. I can take that one for salvation. I don't want to go to hell, but not this one. You know. So many folks can't even explain. So say, it's your new prayer language. It's your new prayer language. Did I say you didn't have one before? It's your new prayer language. You say, we speak in tongues, Satan is confused. So that's why I should speak in tongues. For Satan. Okay, I don't have a problem with Satan. Why do I speak in tongues then? It's an heavenly language. Let's wait till we get there. So sometimes we just don't have answers. You get it. And I know that there were some folks trying to disparage speaking in tongues on the media. And I said, there are a lot of people who have explained these things. But because you are a lazy Christian, and when you like microwave services, where you enter the service and everything is just liking you and you are liking it, you know, you're singing, we sing. Say, welcome to church. Someone said, he said, some guys are just like ambulances, you know. Wow, 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 wow. Everything, wow, wow, wow. That guy's crazy, man. So, wow, 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 wow. Then the pastor ensures that you don't hear too much preaching. You don't open too much scriptures. Even the one he's supposed to open is on the screen for you. Even put table of contents there for you. Yeah, so, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are going somewhere. Of course, when I leave church. You are about to happen. You are a bomb about to explode. Ah, don't go to the north and go and say that. Oh, I'm a bomb about to explode. Say, I carry something. I will explode. You say it in Bonote, they arrest you. I carry something. What did you carry? Go there! You know, we say all those kind of things. So they say, ah, Cyrus was great, man. I can see my dreams
coming true.
In the church. You came to church to hear about your dreams coming true. Dreams. In the church. My dreams. I just see myself next 5 years. In fact, Davido had 500 million in his concert. Did you hear about it? Where are you? You are in Christ. What about me? 500 million. I just see myself. I'm going to hold my own concert. You know? And in you, that's what you came to church to hear. No. You came to church to learn Christ. What did he do when he died? What did he do when he was buried? What did he do when he rose from the dead? What is his work today? Where is he today? What's he doing in the church? Hallelujah. Every other thing, you know, in law we call it obita, is by the way. It's just by the way. It's not the real issues. So when someone is talking about tongues and you are confused, it's because of the church, not you. It's because of the church you attend. Say, nobody in the church I pastor will be confused about it. We have taught it over the years. That even tongues is afraid of you. That you understand it so well. Hallelujah. You get it? So that's why the church is there. Praise the Lord. So many times these things were not explained to many believers. They were not explained. So, and something that you don't understand, after a while, it begins to lose meaning to you. For example, if anybody told you that you are in Christ so that your life will be better, you will say that to somebody in a third world country. I know. Then when he now makes the money, which if he tells himself the truth, has nothing to do with salvation, he'll now begin to look at everything and say, maybe it's all not true. Who's following what I'm saying here? Because you haven't presented the truth. If people will realize that making money has nothing to do with salvation. In fact, salvation may even stop you from making money. He says, prosperity is not spiritual at all. And I think just your common sense should tell you that. It's not spiritual at all. At all. Just like passing in your school, in your exams, is not spiritual. By the time it becomes spiritual, that's a big problem. They say, you need a spiritual help to pass your school work. That's a village matter. Years ago, I had to speak to some of your pastors who were in universities there. So I had to go talk to them before their exams. So they were really expecting me to come and give them some tips, some supernatural tips. Where's Jix? He was there. Kola was there too. So I was there. They were there. They brought their Bibles for a pre-exam session. You know, they're not serious. When I was done, they left for the classrooms. I said, lazy man! Zeroing all over. You don't know what that is. Don't bother. Burning their books! You pray in tongues, you fail. Simple. I said, yes. The more tongues you pray in this exam period, the more your failure will come. And as you interpret the tongues, you say, it is well. No matter what you see, don't be afraid. Say, go and read your books. Hallelujah. Rather than go and learn about the trade you are doing, you are speaking to the Holy Spirit, show me how to go about this business. Holy Spirit. He will show you things to come. You better go for a business seminar. Go to business school. Hallelujah. Go to business school. It's a Christian that your television has a problem. You are laying hands. What is your problem? What is your problem? Is that not poverty? You don't have money. Come on down. Come on.
No, it's not for today. Where were we? You know, when we don't understand those things, we now get confused. Disillusioned. Just like the country. People are saying, we beg God. For what? God doesn't choose presidents. He doesn't choose governors. He doesn't even choose the children that you have. Let me leave that one. God, you choose yourself. You go to nations where they don't pray, they don't have churches, and they are reasonable. You come to a nation where everything is God, 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 God. And in their international airport, you are holding an elevator like this. Come here. Don't worry, by the grace of God, it will not come. Jesus. Let's go on. I'm convinced that much of what we have, you know, much, not most, but much of what we have, not most, what we have around Africa is religion. I'm just convinced. And it's built on the superstition that pervaded this continent, you know, before education came. Superstition. Why would a Christian be praying to pass an exam? Why? Why is I'm praying to pass? So that show me the question. Why? Who taught you all that thing? Show me. Holy Spirit, let an angel bring the question to me. Let's go further. I want to talk about something else, but this teaching is going to be diuresis. So I said that tongues should stir in a man, and we're going to see that the work of the ministry. That's what it does. It's a spirit upon that introduces a believer to the work of the ministry. And so Paul now calls this charisma. Paul happened to be like almost the sole owner of that usage in the epistles. Jesus never used the word, you discover Jesus even didn't use the word grace as we use it today, the way we use it today, though he said for God to love the world that he gave his only begotten son, which is actually grace. But look at Paul now. Pay attention now. That Doria is given to you, and then you become an administrator. We're going to see a couple of things. Now go to Acts 2 verse 4. Acts 2 verse 4. And they were all, that's the apostles, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We're going to be very particular shortly. Now, don't forget, what did Jesus tell them? Till you be endued with power. Luke 24:49. That's enduo, to close upon, to come inside something. It's an act of your will. Enduo is an act of your will. Then he says, you shall receive, take from power after the Holy Ghost is come on you. The taking from the power is the Holy Ghost coming on you. So this is now the experience itself. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The word filled, please follow this one very well, is not like you fill a cup. Then you put a cup, just like I drank water the other time, they put water and then it filled it. That's not what it means. The word filled is the word plato. P-L-A-Y-T-H-O. Plato. Now, it's a play of words. It's with the word plero, where you have plero. They have synonyms, but this is very different. Plato, let's see how it's used in the book of Acts, so you understand what it means. Acts 3 verse 10. Now, this was after they saw the miracle at the beautiful gate. They knew it was he that said that. And then the B part, when they saw that the guy who was crippled that now started to walk, they were
filled with wonder and amazement. That means the wonder and the amazement was in their attitude. Who's following what I'm saying here? It's not that wonder and amazement entered and was not shaken. No. Being filled is your action. You go, wow! Like I said, wow, 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 wow. Can you see? They were filled. That's what it means. Let's go further. Acts 5:17. Then the high priest rose up, and all them that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with what? What's indignation? Anger. And they laid their hands on the apostles. It's not that ministry. Laid their hands. That's it. You know what? Let me show you here. When we were in secondary school, we used to practice how to give somebody a slap and he would see stars. So what do you see? So they were filled. That means they showed their indignation. Okay? Acts 13:45. Are you learning something here? Are you learning something here? Acts 13:45. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and did what? They spoke against. So you see that being filled is in your words. Who's following this? Is in your words and action. One more. Acts 19:26. So you will be telling us, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. No, no. That means you are not. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, it's something you do. You say, that brother is filled with the Holy Ghost. Not, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not a confession. It's an action. Hallelujah. Are you following? Acts 29. And the whole city was filled with confusion. Having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in trouble, they rushed with one accord into the tent. So the word filled is to be driven by, to speak or to act. To be driven by, to be controlled by, to be inspired by. Now go back again to Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began. Now the word began there is a start of something that goes on. It's never used for, or it's often not used for what is a once and for all thing. It's the word archomai. A-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Archomai. It's like the start of something. So this is the start of their speaking with tongues. Not that they spoke with tongues once. It's the start, akomai. Just like you have Genesis in the beginning, then several other things follow. Akomai. You see the word used? In Matthew 4:17. The beginning. The beginning. Other actions of the same things now follow after. So, obviously, that was the starting point of their speaking with tongues, not just an experience. So, the spirit upon is not just for an experience, it's a starting point of a lifelong series of activities. And that's why you see that Peter also was filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts 4:8, and he spoke. Acts 4:31, the whole church filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke. Acts 9:17, Paul filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:9, Paul filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's the beginning of actions that should continue. So your receiving of the Holy Ghost, all right, is the beginning. So what now happens after, pay attention now, is will shortly be seen, and then we'll now see why it is called charisma. So God gave, pay attention, Didomi, which is called Doria, as he gave you, and then you began. The fact that you began shows that you continue. And so,
For being called Doria, what God gave unconditionally for your benefit, for the benefit of others, now becomes a charisma, a gift that is now in your possession. Who's following what I'm saying here? So that's why Paul stressed charisma more on these things. A gift that is now in your possession. While the book of Acts just describes much of what God gave, or how God gave, the epistles now go into detail of what exactly he gave and how it functions. That is why the word charisma now comes to play. It is still charis, but now charis in your hands. Who's following what I'm saying here? It's now charis in your hands. So God didn't give an experience. God gave a faculty. God gave an enablement. He didn't give an experience. And so that was some of the mistakes that people made, and I also did, you know, in the earlier stages of ministry. We saw those things from an experiential point of view. So people will speak with tongues, for example, and it was taught from an experience point of view. And then it was never taught as something that you now have. So most of the thinking that some of us had then was that as the days now go by, God can now, in the middle of, you are just praying on your own, just praying on your own, and the Lord of Lords, Lord of Judah, tribe of Judah, Lord of the tribe of Bijabu, you gave me praise, you give me thanks, oh yeah, Alpha and Omega, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Why is he saying all that? You are the hand that I am. You are the ancient of this, the days of all the ancients. Only you, greater than the greater, higher than the higher. My son! Because you have gone somewhere where they wear white. Say, my son! I remember in the royal family in 1995, I think, or 94. A sister, she just asked me to speak with tongues. She just said, we were singing. And she has a very nice voice. She was like, and I go like that. Now, I was younger then. I won't do that again. I said, come. You're coming back tomorrow. She said, yes. Please empty that your mouth. I was quite a very crazy person. I said, empty that your mouth, okay? So you empty, so we'll give you original one tomorrow. The funny thing was this. The thing about the lady was that eventually, and this is the next day, I laid hands on her. I'm not now sure whether what she said before was fake. I think I was just being critical, really. But what I observed was, this is by the way, you know, when I laid hands on her, then she spoke with tongues and all that. She now actually discovered, I must have mentioned her ministry here many times, she now discovered like a miraculous faculty of laying hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And she did it. I've never found that lady get people filled with the Holy Ghost more than 30 seconds. Sometimes it's a crowd of people. No explanation. I mean, 1994, 95, even me, the pastor, what could I explain? She'll just go, pam, 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 they're talking in tongues, like jazz. And that's a charisma that she must have discovered along the line. There are times where I will go for meetings and I will see people that they will come out, but you know they don't want to be filled. Have you seen that? But they'll just come out. To add you to the list of those that laid hands on them. Some people come out on the healing line. It's not to be healed though, to say, let's try this one too. You know, they do that a lot. So, but someone calls me and say, Pastor, I'm just calling you, and he mentions four people that prayed for her or him. He said, I went for this program, I was there, I even came out. Mentioned like five, and five people that I respect. So I went to a redemption camp, because anybody prayed for me, nothing happened. Yeah. Pastor Chris, nothing happened. Yeah. And you say, so I just had to call you. Okay. Thank God for the prior information. Do you have a Bible there? I'll now take you through faith lessons. I'll point out by their faith, your faith. So go back. Don't add my name. I won't be.
Because obviously you are going to add my name. But you've mentioned two people that obviously are gifts of healing. And then you are telling me I should add my name. And me, I'm just a pastor. I say, bros, you know what? Seek the Lord. How did I get here, please? So people will come out like that. And then she just lay hands on them. I just tell them, what if you do? And just lay hands. There's just that miraculous faculty. And I'm yet to see. No, except a friend of mine that was like that too. But I've yet to see someone like that. Pam, 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 pam. The one that was craziest was my mom. I had prayed with my mom. I gave her white tongues, my brother Higgins. I gave her, she just, yeah. So she came to our house. She just laid down on my mat. Ah! My mom said, speaking in tongues. I was angry. Has that happened to you before? She see her mouth. $9.95. She said, speaking in tongues. I told her, I said, lay hands on, let her fall down. She said, okay, sir. I said, yes. 96, sorry, 96. You know, so sometimes, and that's what tongues, that what this was supposed to do. They began. It now became a charisma. So tongues in the book of Acts is seen as a doria, the act of God enabling us. But in the epistles, it's now a charisma, what we now have and function in. Let me see your hand, everybody. You follow this. Very good. So, now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, Paul says, now, go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now, there are diversities, that's the word diaresis. We've used that. That is a distinguishing factor of the same things. There are diversities of charisma, but it's the same spirit. So he mentions tongues in verse 8, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to verse 10. Tongues. The word kinds of tongues there just means a tribal tongue. There's nothing called different tongues. Tongues for prayer, tongues for warfare, tongues for prophecy, tongues for spiritual jingolo. No. It's just tongues. Right? And there's no tongues of angels. Tongues of angels in 1 Corinthians 13 is a figure of speech. Right? So, now, and diverse tongues. Tongues is not someone's language that is interpreted. No. Don't. It's not true. Tongues is not, you're a Nigerian speaking Chinese. That's not tongues. That's linguistics. That's not tongues. Tongues is basically a gibberish. In the natural, it sounds gibberish. That's what it is. And the way you know what is said in tongues is by interpretation of tongues. If tongues is people's languages, then there will be nothing called interpretation of tongues. Who's following what I'm saying here? Let that be very clear in your mind. It all stems from the confusion that people had in the book of Acts. Acts 2, 1 to 4, to verse 15. And I told you, the comments that caused confusion did not come from Peter. Didn't come from the apostles. It came from the onlookers. And onlookers cannot form doctrinal position for you. It was those who were around who said, we hear them speak. Are these people drunk? You know, that cannot form your own persuasion. Your own persuasion should have been from what Peter said, and what the apostle said, and what Paul wrote. Who's following what we're saying here? So it's from that portion that arises the confusion. And we have taken time to explain all that. You get all these materials, what happened in Acts 2, tongues for the simple, tongues beyond the day of Pentecost, tongues and interpretation, baptism of the Holy Ghost concerning utterances. You know, so many teachings have been done to explain that portion very well. We'll have a book around that also does that explanation. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? So, definitely, tongues now resides with you and I as charisma.
And 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, desire earnestly the best charisma. Now go to Ephesians 4 verse 8. So the Spirit upon is an introduction to ministry. Is that clear? Tongues, I wanted to say actually, the utterance gift is an introduction to ministry. I think it was in this series I said that E.W. Kenyon, obviously his first son, T.L. Osborne. Many people don't know that T.L. Osborne is actually like a son to E.W. Kenyon. They believe that on the day of Pentecost, when we saw cloven tongues like as of fire, it was to describe tongues as introducing men to preaching the gospel around the world. Now, that's not far-fetched, you know, because you discover that Jesus actually asked them to wait for the utterance gifts before they started preaching. So, I'm persuaded that when we learn the utterance gifts very well, it will enable believers in its knowledge, it will enable believers to function in the ministry. Because it is the only ministry gift, or it is only gift of the Spirit that seemingly has no precedence in the Old Testament. That's the first thing you need to notice. Then secondly, it is the only, that is the utterance gift, that announces by preaching or speaking primarily. And so that's something you need to give some thought. Now, let's go back to this. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, he uses the word doma. We have seen the word doron in verse 7. He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. Now, this is not the same for everybody. We've seen that earlier. It's from that metro, the measure. He gave gifts to men. So, are we still talking about the gifts of the Spirit, as we call it, or the gifts in the Spirit? No. No. Go to Ephesians 3:7 one more time. And then Paul says, whereof I was made a minister. So say a minister. So a minister is the word diakonia, somebody who serves. Okay? Who presents things, who serves, and made a minister. Then he says, according to the gift of the grace of God. So this will be called ministry gift. Ministry gift. So what is that ministry gift? The first thing you need to realize, it's a ministry. Simple. To minister to others for the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 2. I'm going to start from verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Let's take verse 2 together, everybody. Ephesians 3, 2. Let's go. Of the dispensation of the grace of God. That is what? No, notice that. That dispensation is ministry. It's the word oikonomia. This is where people got dispensation of grace from. They say, where is the dispensation of grace? They don't know what it means. The word dispensation here is the word oikonomia. I'll spell it for you. O-I-K-O-N-O-M-I-A. It means to manage something. To manage. To be a steward of something. That's what he now calls in verse 7, ministry. I'm made a minister. That word oikonomia will be seen in Luke 16 verse 2. Stewardship. 1 Corinthians 9, 17. A dispensation is committed unto me, stewardship. Ephesians 3:9, Colossians 1:25, quickly. Then Ephesians 3:9, in the same breath.
to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So, there is a management, a stewardship, something that is now given to you to take care of. It's now given to you to take care of. That is, you're going to give account of it. It's given to you to take care of. An oikonomia, which is also called charisma. That is something you now have. It is now within your care. Go to Romans 12 verse 4. So the spirit within will present the spirit upon now makes available, as we can call it, responsibilities for you and I. Romans 12:4. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office or the same function. Verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace of God given unto me, look at that again, through the grace of God given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of the faith. That's a better way to put it. A measure of the faith. Or measure, that is a syntax arrangement, given to every man, measure of the faith. The word "these" should be before the word "faith." Measure of the faith. That is, he has given measure. The faith there refers now to the body of Christ, to the gospel. So he says, for we've been many, verse 5, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Let's take verse 6 together, just the 8th part. Let's go. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. The word "gifts" there is charisma. So they are given to us as believers. Supernatural. Okay? But does this imply, go to 1 Corinthians 2:5. Does this imply do as you wish? No. 1 Corinthians 12:5. I'll start from 4, then we'll read verse 5 together. Let's go together. We'll read 4, then we'll take 5 together. 1 Corinthians 12:4-5. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Let's read verse 5 together. And there are differences of administrations, but the same. The word administration is the word diakonia, D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A. It means ministry. To administer something. So it doesn't mean do as you wish. It's a stewardship. So in this instance, as it were, you are given to manage something. Now, pay attention, I've said this before. This is not your career. This is supernatural equipment for the work of the ministry. It's not your career. Now, some of us have gifts from God, in the sense of gifts from God, the gifts of oratory. So we can rap very well. Some of us can do things with our hands. You know, we can do all sorts of things. You know, and this is not peculiar to believers. It's everywhere in the world. And any race, tribe, or tongue. It's just like the rain falls upon everybody anywhere you are. Except some places. You know, where they hardly see rain the same way. You know, you have the sun. You know, and it's that same way we can call our talents the gifts of God, the blessings of God. But they are not the gift of the resurrection of Christ. The gift of the resurrection of Christ is not a talent. Some people just have, you know, wonderful dispositions to teaching. You can teach very well. Tutorials. You can teach people, you know, impart knowledge. You're good at it. Some folks are just very good at it. Some guys are so good that they'll be teaching their own castmates to pass. And those guys will pass more than they will. They do better, sorry. And because they just have that. And Muslims, Christians, Shintoists, atheists, the same way rain falls on everybody. But it will be wrong for you to now
classify that with this. No. You can use that to serve humanity. And it's good. Good. But that is not the ministry of Christ. When he ascended up on high, he gave this. It's not a talent. I have my own talents. You know, some of them I've not used them well. If I used football well, we're just plain sex. No vision. You play set. I do monkey post. You go home injured. No allowances. No endorsement. And you carry bandage. Set. Now I see some guys who cannot even control the ball well. Bah! They'll fall on the floor and they'll bring stretcher. And they'll do all those things with praying something. In those days, he enjoy you, he said, move on, coming for him. You just go to one side and go and use rub. You do use the rub, use it yourself. That's a talent. Some people have good talent. They're making money with it. Some have talent of singing. You can sing very well. It's not because you got born again. You've been singing like that before you got born again. Ah! Can Celine Dion sing? Celine Dion is a master. She sings very, very well. And it's not an anointing. Or Michael Jackson. Oh, Jesus. Hey! Michael Jackson is... That guy is off the hook. But that is not a ministry. Jesus is not right from the dead, then he gave us Michael Jackson. That's a talent. Some guys are good managers. Beautiful. Some guys are even... Let's go on. But this one is the stewardship of the gifts of the Spirit. Stewardship of supernatural equipment. And you cannot create your own list. The list is definite. Romans 12, verse 4 to 8. Ephesians 4, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, we can start from verse 4 to verse 31. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and verse 11. You can't create your own list. So I say, what I just find in me, I'm just an activist. I was like that. I had this thing about, when I was in the university, I knew from my first year that my project will be human rights. I knew it. Because I used to do some things as a boy in the secondary school. I shut the whole school down before. The whole school was shut down. Just one letter I wrote to the principal. I said, who wrote it? I came out with my big glasses. He said, I did. And I was arguing with the man. Ah! The whole school, everybody's dead. You know, that is not a ministry. I was dreaming something will come when I'll do it in this country. You know, that's not a ministry. He said, it's good, it's a talent. In fact, the principal called my father. He said, the son is quite, he's a tough nut for us. He said, but you have to talk to him. This is military era. I told my father, I said, I can give my life for it. He looked at me and just kept driving. Anyway, it's stupid. So I can do this. I was really feeling big, you know. But that's just a talent, you know. And I could organize people back there, you know, and do stuff, you know, and all that. The whole school, and the secondary school, that is a talent. And you find, and my role model was my head of school, who was in the upper six when I was in Form 1. The guy was not a Christian. Very, very brilliant administrator. So that's just natural. And it's fine. I won't tell you this without apologies. Jesus will not ask you to give account of your talent. What about the parable of the talent? Where it's money. That one is money. Okay, when you give people money, you ask them to return
give account. They won't ask you. I like obey song. You know obey song? Mashebota lenti emo le arakuni. You don't understand Yoruba, I'm sorry. It doesn't have an English translation. Oluwa yo bere lowo re o to fi se with Oluwa. What did you do with the skills I gave you to play for us now?
I believe God is going to ask about phone. I believe that's what you are going to give a card about. What did you do with your boxing skills? How many people did you punch down?
Nah. It is the stewardship of the gospel of Christ that will be required.
And look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, and then Ron. You learning something?
And then verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, and the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Look at that very well. It says, the charisma, that's the word there. Say the charisma of God, laying on of hands, right, was given thee. That by saying he gave you, what did you do? You took. Okay, now, don't forget this one. What does prophecy do? It communicates an information to you. So you received after the prophecy. What it means is that prophecy was given and then it alerted you. It communicated to you what was resident and then you received it. So what it happens is, what happens is that happens to many of us. And I can talk about myself. You'll be in a meeting and then a prophecy will come and then it will put your attention on something you never knew. You know, and that's what happened to Timothy here. And what did he get to find out? The charisma of God, obviously his ministry. It says it came, so it communicated to Timothy what was given. And so Timothy received by the prophecy. He did not receive from the prophecy. The prophecy did not give him. The prophecy was how he knew what was given. Let me see your hand if you understand that. Okay. How he knew what was given. And that happens to a couple of us, you know, like that. And that's why chapter 1 verse 18 says, prophecies which went before on you, that thou by them might war a good warfare. It went before on him. So there are prophecies that will be given that will enable the Spirit upon for you to now receive and go, oh, beautiful. So when hands are laid like that, which Paul repeated in 2 Timothy 1:7, when hands are laid like that, is for you to take what is yours, what was given to you. It's not the hands that gave them. The hands are to communicate to you so that you receive. That's what the hands do. You still receive. Look at Acts 13. And that's why a serious Christian takes laying of hands very seriously for what he does. Acts 13 verse 1. Now there were in the church at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manahen, which had been brought up with Oil the Tetrarch. Let's take verse 2 together. As they ministered, let's go. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, what? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I called. Notice that. Separate me, Barnabas. Now, the Holy Ghost said doesn't mean that they just heard a voice in the loudspeaker. No, it's by utterance. So watch this. This is exactly what happened to Timothy. Utterances were given for the work whereunto I have called them, past tense. And when they had fasted and prayed, they didn't stop fasting and praying, and laid their hands on them, okay, they sent them away. Look at verse 4. Let's take verse 4 together. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed. It was after now that they were called apostles. So what happened in here was that, now, had they been called before now? Huh? Okay, good. So what happened by laying on hands? They received what they had been given. Not that what they were being given by the apostles or by the prophets and teachers. No.
No, they received what they had been given. That's exactly what happened to Timothy. So, yet it's charisma. So the key element of charisma is that it functions in this instance as the Spirit upon what people will see, what people will note about you. I would say without doubt that in 1994, precisely, I believe, I was in a conference. And I just like to say this along the line. It's not to be clear what I'm saying. And then, not a conference, a seminar, actually. And the pastor was teaching on ministry gifts. And so I had been in the ministry before then, doing missionary work here and there. And he said, he talked about the ministry of a teacher. I don't believe I'm a teacher, but then I want to tell you what happened that day. So he, when it was done, he now called people out. He said he wanted to minister to people who believed that they were called to teach the gospel. And so I was not even persuaded. I just stayed in there. I'd been teaching, no doubt, but I wasn't persuaded. I just was there. I just wanted people to be born again, healed, filled with the Holy Ghost. I was such a fan of R. W. Schambach, you know, there, and T.L. Osborne. So I just wanted people to be born again. So I didn't come out. I was just there. So he stopped. He said, "Hey, you in the dark shirt." And I was wearing dark, a silk shirt. He said, "You, come out." So me? You saw now among the prophets? All right. So I came out. And then he laid hands on me. And I can tell you with no doubt that from that day was when I actually began to teach God's word with more clarity. What happened that day was that I received from what was already there. But it was communicated to me by the laying on of hands. The same way somebody is born again, he's got the Holy Ghost. But you lay hands on him so that he can receive from. Who's following there? From the day he got born again, tongues was in his spirit. The interpretation of tongues was in there. But laying on of hands is for you to receive what you have already been given. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Okay, let's just say one more thing, then we close. Ladies and gentlemen? All right. So, Acts 2. Notice something. Acts 2, verse 4. They were all in one place. So, the Spirit upon is more effective in a gathering of believers. We're going to start looking at that next week. That was what I was telling you to remind me. So, the Spirit upon functions a lot in the gathering. Look at that, Acts 8. Through. Just notice those places. Acts 8, the one we read from verse 14 to verse 22. Acts 10, the house of Cornelius. Paul, that's Acts 10, 44 to 46. Paul, Acts 9:17. And then in Ephesus, Acts 19, verse 6. So, it functions a lot, or it becomes obvious, in gatherings. And that's why Brother Higgin will call it the corporate anointing. He calls it the anointing with upon, the anointing without. And I teach it at the same thing. So, we're saying basically the same thing. I teach it at the same thing. So, in this instance, it functions, becomes obvious in gatherings. In gatherings. Acts 13, 2. Paul and Barnabas. Acts 2, 1 to 4, the apostles. It functions in gatherings. And you see laying on of hands. It stirred up when other ministry gifts are present. Or when the gifts of the Spirit are in demonstration. For example, I can say this by experience, that if, for example, you have a healing service and you are not sick in the body, it does something to the gifts of healing in you. That's all it does. You know, in that corporate gathering. For example, now, if you come to a meeting and you come for a meeting, say, organized by Pastor John, what we gather to, we're not gathered unto Jesus, as it were. we are all in Christ. We are actually gathered unto the Spirit upon that fellow. So what happens is that it now helps everyone to give expression to the Spirit upon us. That's what happens. That's what is now called the corporate anointing, as Brother Hagin teaches it. What we call the corporate flow of the Spirit is actually, you know, a function of who, as it were, administers that meeting. Let me show you something quickly. Look at Philippians 1. Romans 1:11 first, then we'll go to Philippians 1 and close on. Romans 1:11. For I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you might be established. That's a gathering. I might impart. The word impart means to share. Metadidomi. I might give to you. Make available to you some spiritual gift. Now it becomes clearer in Philippians 1:7, where Paul says, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as you are in my bonds, both in my bonds and in defense and the company of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. That's what he calls it. Partakers of my grace. Now the word partakers is the word S-U-G, so koinonos. S-U-G-K-O-I-N-O-N-O-S. S-U-G-K-O-I-N-O-N-O-S. It means to take out of what belongs to another. It means to share on what someone owns alone or has alone. It is a partaker of the grace of God, of my grace. What God gave to him is now available to others. And that's what happens when you come to a service and the pastor is teaching, is imparting, is sharing. From that grace. Not the word now. The word is written. It's not the one that put the word in there. But that teaching is a sharing of that grace. And that means, what it does also, as that goes on, it enables believers to as well function in the anointing or the Spirit upon them. Brother Hagin is all over my head. The Spirit upon them in their own ministry. So from next week, we'll begin to explore that in detail, which we will see what the place of gatherings, how do we benefit from that, and then we walk in the light of it. Amen. You bless this morning.